so inadequate if we look down on ourselves because we don't have a particular talent or don't have one that is obvious to others, we may well sit back and let life pass us by. And we, in this case, would not be doing God's will. It would be good to remember what Dr. Charles Allen once said. God looks at every person with two eyes, the eye of forgiveness and the eye of expectation. God knows he's given you talents. And he probably knows that if you haven't fully realized it, if you haven't fully developed your talent, he's looking forward to it. I can imagine God saying, I can't wait till this servant understands what he'll be able to do. Or what this one learns what she can do with what I've given her. An eye of expectation. It was a long time ago, but many years back, the United States Army took this biblical concept and made a very catchy ad campaign. Be all you can be. I don't know how it worked out for the Army so much, but I do know that that is what God's expectation is in his army and in his kingdom, to be all that you can be with God's grace, with God's help. Now, another danger in the exercise of our talents and comparing them with someone else is the superiority complex. When God tells us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, it is implied that we must love and think highly of ourselves before God. But God specifically warns us in Galatians 6, 3 through 5, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else, for each one should carry his own load. That's what this parable is about, what Paul later wrote to the Galatians. This parable strongly emphasizes that same concept. These servants were given different amounts, different opportunities, different abilities. Is that fair? One guy got 5 talents, if it was measured in silver. That's almost 400 pounds of silver. He could go out and invest in big stuff with that. And the other guy only got 2 talents, only 150 pounds. And the other guy really got only 1. Is that fair? Well, let me tell you, that's a trick question. The very question suggests this business of comparing ourselves with someone else. Most fair is that God gives nothing. God doesn't owe us anything. It is his abundant generosity that he gives any gifts. We should be doing our best without comparing to somebody else. Another danger to be watched for is to not understand the nature of talents. Talents and abilities don't just appear out of nowhere magically. Joy didn't start playing the flute well one morning when she found a flute laying around. And the same for any other instrument or any other talent. Although your Creator has given you talents, you must develop them. You must develop them. You need to work at it. It takes time, planning, patient effort, overcoming failures, and good old-fashioned work, or as musicians call it, practice. Developing and exercising your talents won't get you very far by itself. Developing and exercising them unto God for his glory is what makes a difference. I don't know who said it, but it was said once, inspiration without perspiration is of little value. So you read the story with me. The story that Jesus told tells that the master returned from his journey. He wanted to know what's been going on while he was gone. As you noticed, the two servants given 5 and 2 talents were eager to share what had happened. They had doubled what had been given them by the master. Please notice, both were equally faithful. It is not a mistake, it is not an accident that what the master said to each servant is exactly, identically the same. The exact same blessing, exact same faithfulness for what they had done. Even though one had more than twice as much to work with, had gained much, much more, they were both blessed equally. Especially those of us with less talents than others that we know of should get kind of a charge out of finding out that both get the same reward. Some of us with less to work with, if we're faithful, have the same reward as those with abundant talent. We know, and yet we often need to be reminded, that it really isn't so much what you've got as it is what you do with what you've got. On the shadow side of this, the other side is the emphasis that not having as much as someone else is no excuse for not doing our best. As you saw, both were called good and faithful servants. Again, we notice, we can see that what we have doesn't excite God so much as who we are. He loves us when we had nothing, when we weren't yet born. He loves us. Who we are is what's important to God, not what we have and not even what we can produce. Doing our best to serve and obey God makes us His champions, even and especially when it doesn't look that way to the worldly and earthly eyes. But we haven't forgotten about the other servant, the one who was given only 1 talent. It has been said he tried to do nothing with his talent, and he did it perfectly. He did nothing except hit it in the ground. Gave it back to his master when he got back. Now let's imagine for a moment what he or she might have said in defense of these actions. I didn't have near as much to offer as these others, so what's the use? My part was so small, it's hardly noticeable. No one will notice if I'm missing. You might be able to think of other possible excuses this person might offer. Maybe you've made such excuses. But when we think about excuses for not doing our best for God, we should at least notice God's response to that. You wicked, lazy servant, take what he has and give it to the faithful servant. That's a paraphrase. And throw that worthless servant out. I'm sure you feel the same way I do about that. That harshness surprises us. It almost shocks us, doesn't it? The message is clear. There is no place in God's kingdom for a ho-hum attitude about the use of and development of our talents and abilities. We have to use it or lose it, as it is said. How many or what kind of talents we have are not the issue with God. He wants our love and our faithfulness first, and our skills and talents and money and personality are only secondary to our loving Him and serving Him. You see, think about it this way. What we can do in the kingdom of heaven is not much. I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying, look at the world around us. Look at all of God's kingdom. The very best we could do, if we all cooperated and worked our very hardest, won't be noticed in San Diego or Chicago or New York. It won't make a difference. It won't be noticeable. But that's not a problem. What we can do isn't much, But who we are is really something. We are the ones God loves so much, he sent his one and only son into the world to die for us. That's special. You are loved not because of what you can do, not because of how well you've developed your talents, but because God loves you. That's it. We've seen in our looking at the parables, God does expect us to know some things about his kingdom. He created us to be part of his kingdom. He has created each of us for a purpose, and some of us know exactly what it is, and some of us might not know yet. That's all right. If we listen to God, if we look to him, if we trust him, he will make it clear. He'll let us know what we need to know when we need to know it. He lends us gifts and abilities and opportunities that we need to seek and accomplish his purpose for us. God will someday want to know what you have done with the gifts he has loaned to you. That's part of the point of the parable. God's going to ask, how have you done? It seems to you like I've been away for a while. What have you done? Well, you thought I was away. How did you handle the gifts that I've given you? You see, and you know this, God really didn't go away on a journey. That's part of the parable to make a point. God didn't go anywhere. He is still with us. He's always with us. The trip is just to help us understand that our Master has trusted us with his valuable possessions. They're not ours. They are his, for his honor and glory and kingdom. Don't waste them. Find and develop and use them, or you will lose them. And then a final word. Please don't be surprised at what could happen when you respond to God's love by doing your best to serve him. When you learn his word, when you love him, and when you develop your skills and abilities that God has given, a masterpiece will be the result. Something marvelous will be the result of our simple obedience to God. You might be surprised to know what you can do, since you're a servant, mostly like any other servant. In fact, you're much like Paul, who, sometime much later than Jesus told these parables, when he understood these things, he was inspired to write, "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." That's Philippians 4:13. I hope that will be your motto. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. People of God, take your talents and put them to work in God's kingdom for his glory and honor and praise. Amen. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for abundant blessing you have given and continue to give. We thank you that you love us so much and that you give us gifts and abilities. And Lord, we just ask that you'll help us to be wise and in our discovering them, in our developing them, in our putting them to work for our small part of your great and glorious kingdom. Lord, we thank you for the gifts you've given. We praise you, and we offer ourselves to you in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.